Now let us turn back to Psalm 32. There's also a little sermon outline in the newsletter. You may find it helpful. Psalm 32, the first 1.5 verses. A psalm of David, a contemplation. Blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Blessed, happy, is the same word. In New Year's time, all over the world, people like to say, Happy New Year. Well, we may or may not have a Happy New Year, but that is at least our wish. Everyone wants to be happy. There is even a happiness index, as some of you know, of different countries to measure which people in which country are the happiest in the world. I don't know about our ranking, but I don't think our ranking will be too low. But what is happiness? If I ask you this morning, if we got a chance to share a simple question, happiness to me is... Maybe some of you young men and boys will say, happiness is if I got a girlfriend. When I was about some of our young men's age, that was what I really said. Happiness is when I will have a girlfriend. Or some of you may say, happiness is when I get a job. But after you get a job, I guess for some time you say, well, here comes Monday morning, I have to get up, I'm not happy. What is happiness to you? King David here says, happiness to him is when he knows his sins are forgiven. King David was one of the greatest kings in the ancient world. He was a very gifted man, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, a poet, a musician. He got what we would say everything. And he says here, happiness to me is when I know my sins are forgiven. And twice he repeated this, not just blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, but blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Spurgeon in the 19th century, the prince of preacher, he mentioned a girl a number of times. A young teenage girl who said to him, Mr. Spurgeon, either I have completely changed or the world has. She became a Christian. And everything to her is new and happiness. So my dear friends, what is your happiness? We are told here happiness is forgiveness of sins. Some of us this morning remember our past sins with utter shame and confusion of face. You may feel just like that. There were sins you did many years ago. You know, yes, God is a forgiving God. There's forgiveness with the Lord. But somehow you can't forgive yourself. You are still miserable and ashamed. You don't feel forgiven. Yes, you might have done terrible things. You might have been foolish. And the trouble is that you do not know the blessed forgiveness David mentions here. But friends, let us remember that the Lord Jesus Christ really died and shed his blood for the real sins of real sinners. And that is you and me. The Savior really died and paid for our sins, so that we, by faith in him, by looking unto Jesus, we are indeed forgiven. Our hearts may condemn us, our conscience may condemn us, but God is greater than our hearts. And he has accepted the sacrifice of his Son, and his Son rose again on the third day. There is indeed full and free forgiveness of sins for people who turn to Jesus the Savior. Think of David, the psalmist here. He was a great man in ever so many ways, but friends, you know, he was also a terrible sinner. You remember what he did? He took another man's wife and then killed the man. What a terrible evil he has done, and yet he has come to know that he was forgiven by the holy and righteous God. Now, friends, I hope you do not look down upon a man like David. You know, some people read of King David and his failure and his sin, and they say, well, what an immoral person he was. I'm ashamed of King David. I'm ashamed that he's in the Bible. He has no moral. Oh, my dear friends, if you should say that, you only show that you are just like the scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' days. They look down upon sinners. All these are tax collectors, traitors. All these are prostitutes, immoral women. All these are the failures of society. We got moral. We might not be sinners, but we are okay. Oh, friends, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like them. Don't be self-righteous. Don't be proud. Don't look down upon any sinner. No, no, no. We must look at any sinner with pity and mercy and kindness. Think of another great sinner, Paul the Apostle. You know what he did before he became a Christian? He was a blasphemer, a persecutor of the early Christians. He dragged Christians to prison. He even got some of them killed. He supervised the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian church. My dear friends, can you think of a greater sinner than Paul? Might be, after all, King David was a little bit better than Paul, you might say. And Paul says, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. And Paul came to know that blessedness, to be forgiven by the Lord. And it wasn't just before Paul became a Christian. Years after he was a Christian, he cries out in Romans 7, "Oh, wretched man that I am as a Christian. Who can deliver me from this body of death?" And he goes on to say, "I thank God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Oh friends, what a joy, what a blessing it is to know not just that you are a sinner, but you are a forgiven sinner. Do you know that, friends? Are you rejoicing in that? But friends, I know some of you this morning hardly feel your sinfulness. The word sin is only an academic word. You say, oh yes, I'm a sinner. But sin doesn't trouble you, really. Yes, you know Jesus to be the Savior, your Savior, but He's not really that important or precious. Deep in your heart you say, well, I'm okay. I'm not so immoral. I just need some help with my temper, with my marriage, with my family life, with this or that area in my life. And friends, you need to know what is sin. So the next thing we should notice is the three words here used to name sins: transgressions, sins, iniquity. I'm sure that our Sunday school children and young people have been told the meaning of these three words hundreds of times. I'm almost sure that maybe very few of them can remember what these three words mean. In the Old Testament, often these three words are used together to name sins. In that great passage in Exodus 34, when God revealed His glory and proclaimed His name, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving, listen, iniquity and transgression and sin. Last Sunday morning we mentioned that God is the Creator God. And this morning we notice God is a forgiving God. What is transgression? If after church you cross the road and go to the electricity substation, you'll notice trespassers shall be prosecuted. Don't climb into that substation of electricity. You're not allowed to get into that. Otherwise, well, your next stop is Maruba Police Station. To trespass is to go beyond the boundaries. God says, do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And when you and I look at anyone lustfully, we have transgressed. When we covet, we transgressed. We go beyond the boundaries. We have done what we ought not to do. My dear friends, have we not done what we ought not to do? Is it not in the very sinful human nature to do what we ought not to do? You tell a child, don't you eat ice cream before dinner. Well, what happened? Half of the tub of ice cream is gone before dinner. You tell a child, don't put your fingers into that plug. Well, he will do it. That is transgression. God has given us His law, but we tend not to keep His law. What is sin? Well, remember learning the definition of this word sin many years ago in a Billy Graham Crusade training seminar. I was enlightened when I was told sin in the Bible means missing the mark. You shoot an arrow, you miss the target. Missing the mark. The Lord God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. My dear friends, how many Sabbath days have you kept holy? I mean, really, keeping the Sabbath day holy. The day. Years ago, people in Scotland thought they have kept the Sabbath day holy. Foolishly. God has such a high and holy standard for us. He has called us to glorify and enjoy Him forever. That is God's standard. When we fail that mark, we sin. Now you see, it is easier to sin than to transgress, perhaps. Oh, if I keep within the boundaries, I do not transgress. But when I fail God's high and holy calling, I sin. When God calls me to love my wife as Christ loved the church, and I fail to do that, I sin. When God calls your wife to be submissive to your husband as the church to Christ, you don't do that, you sin. When God has told us, rejoice in the Lord always, and we don't, we sin. And we cry out when we know what is sin, oh, wretched man that I am. How can I measure up to God's standard? You know God's standard is right. You agree with that. You won't say that is wrong. But we can't reach that, isn't it? And that is sin. Now, what is iniquity? In the NIV here, it is translated as sin also. Iniquity means what is twisted, crooked, bent, perverted. And that is what sin has done to us. It twisted our relationships. It twisted our marriage. It twisted our family life. It twisted our character. It twisted our behavior. It twisted our lives. It made everything twisted. It's just like what a flood or earthquake did to a road, isn't it? There was a highway, swayed. When an earthquake happened, it twisted the highway. Or it flooded the road, and the road got twisted or collapsed. My dear friends, this is what God means by sin. And my dear friends, God takes sins very seriously. Do you? Oh, my dear friends, don't gloss over sins. Don't say as many does, well, Isn't God's job to forgive sins? I don't need to worry about that. I don't need to think too much about that. Now, that is not a good attitude towards sins. Because God is holy and righteous, He has made us in such a way that sin is important to us, that it has to be dealt with in God's way. Have you ever taken transgressions, sin, and iniquity seriously? Yes, friends, God is a forgiving God. That's the good news. So let us notice the next three words describing forgiveness of sins. Forgiven, covered, not imputed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Literally, blessed is he whose sin is taken away. Oh, my friends, when you have done wrong, when you have sinned, and if your conscience convicts you, won't you say, I would really like to take that away. Take that away from me. Won't you? But how can it be taken away? The Bible tells us it's only by the Lord Jesus Christ taking our sins away from us and upon himself. When he died on the cross. The second word, whose sin is covered. Oh friends, after we sin, naturally we want to cover it up, isn't it? Remember, we as a child, your children, it was not too many years ago, you are still doing that, you have done wrong, what do? You cover it up. Oh no, I have not done it. King David did that. He murdered, he committed adultery. What did he do? Cover it up. Actually, he covered his adultery by committing murder. And then everyone tried to cover it up. It wasn't published in www.israel.net. No, it was only in the blog. People were talking about that. People knew that. Did you know? King David got a new wife. New wife? Hasn't he got many already? Oh yes, but this one is really a drop-dead beauty. Who is she? Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. But David tried to cover that up. Or if we are more sophisticated, we cover up our sins by saying, that is not sin at all. You see? That is not sin at all. That is okay. If people hurt me, it is okay for me to take revenge. It is okay to cover a little. It is okay to harbor bitterness and hatred. It is okay. There is no sin at all. And we live in a time when black is called white, and white is called black, and people glory in their shame. Someone tells me the meaning of gay. It is good as you. We are just as good as you, no matter how we live. So how can our sins be covered? It can only be covered by Jesus' blood. It can only be covered by Jesus' righteousness. My dear friends, have you applied the blood of Jesus Christ to your conscience? Have you got a blood covered conscience? What a blessed thing when you know that. That you can say to God and yourself, I know I have done terrible wrongs. But Jesus has taken away my sins and taken it upon himself. He has covered up my sin by his own blood and righteousness. Oh friends, make sure that you say that. And the third term or word in verse 2, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. When we sin, we are guilty. And we should be charged. If this morning you go out from church, you go to a pub, you use a bottle and hit it on someone's head, my dear friends, the security guard and the police will come and get you and you'll be charged. And the meaning here is that after you are charged with that guilt and crime, the judge will say to you, not guilty. Go home. You say, what? That's wonderful to me, but why? What happened? Or some of you who are paying your mortgage, suppose one day your uncle in China should say to you, child, don't worry about your mortgage anymore. I'm going to pay off for you. How things changed. Years ago, people in mainland China were poor, and we people in Hong Kong used to help them. But things have changed so much that I got an aunt. She was in Hong Kong and she was helping her brother many years ago, but then things have changed so much that she was helped by her brother again and again and again, and even her funeral expenses was paid by her brother in China. Not imputed. You are discharged of your mortgage because someone has paid for you. You are brought before the judge, and the righteous judge, the Lord, says, you believe my son. My son has paid for the guilt and the debt of your sin. You are to walk free. That is what we mean to be justified by faith in Christ. That is what Martin Luther discovered when he was a young man, when he was a young monk. He felt so guilty. Oh, he knew what was transgression and sin and iniquity, and he wanted to make amends and make atonement for his sin. So what did he do? He became a monk, and a good monk. He didn't wear enough clothing in winter in Germany. He said the Lord's Prayer hundreds and thousands of times. He went to Rome to pay pilgrimage. He went up those stairs. Each stair he repeats the Lord's Prayer. No liberty from a guilty conscience, until one day he studied the Psalms, like Psalm 32 and Romans, and he came to know, oh, Jesus has paid it all. And he was set free. And he felt so free He felt so happy that he has to tell the whole world about this good news. Doesn't matter if someone wanted to kill him or the church expelled him. Do we know this joy? Do you know this joy? Or are we still trying to pay for our sins? My last point. How does one come to be forgiven? To King David, it did not come easily. Look at verse 3. He said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." For some time, David tried to cover up his sin. Not just from man, but from God. "I'm okay." He went along business as usual, ruling as king as usual, but he was out of sorts. He tried to suppress his conscience. Conscience says to him, "You are guilty." David says, "Shut up, please. But you are guilty. Now have another drink." But he couldn't live like that forever. My dear friends, David felt like that because he was a true believer. When a true believer sinned, his heart was troubled by sin and he felt so uneasy, he felt out of sorts. My dear friend, if you feel for your sinfulness, it is a sign of life. You say to yourself, "I don't understand. Other people do the same thing. They're so happy. I do this. I feel so miserable. Why?" Because you have life. Really, friends, when we are trying to be fair, what David did in the ancient world was okay. You are king and there was a lovely woman. It's bad luck that her husband got her before you. The husband should die. All kings do that. Even Mohammed did that. But he was nice, he didn't kill the man. He just asked the man, "I want your wife." And the man said, "Well, you are the prophet. Have her." What David did was normal, ordinary, accepted behavior 3,000 years ago in the ancient world. Was it not so? Well, after all, he didn't have too many wives by ancient standard. But how can you be a decent king without a dozen wives or more? But David was a true believer. He wasn't just another king. He was God's king. And he felt so miserable in covering up his sin. And then these three words. Look at it in verse 5. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, to your God, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said I would confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Everything in this psalm comes by free. Transgressions, sin, iniquity. Taken away, covered up, not imputed. How did David get his forgiveness? He acknowledged his sin. He did not cover up his iniquity. He confessed them. To whom? To the Lord. Oh, my friends, what a blessing it is that we have a God to go to confess our sins. Notice here, it is to God that we can confess our sins. You don't have to come to me and to confess your sins. What a blessing. If you should come to me and say, Pastor, I want to confess my sins to you, I'm afraid I have to say to you, well, I'm not sure I would like to hear that. Can you just imagine if you are appointed in this congregation to be the one to hear the confession of all the sins of all the people here? Can you bear that? Can you bear that? What a burden! What a burden! But what a joy it is that we can go to the Lord God and say to the Lord, this is all that I am. The Lord does not require us to go to another human person to confess all our sins. But we can go to God and say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, 20 years ago, I did that. 3 days ago, I did that. And all through my life, I failed to be what I meant to be. Please, forgive me. And the Lord God said, for the blood of my Son, you are forgiven. Won't you like that? Will it not be a blessing to have that? I close with this. I have not read that book, but I heard of this French novel. Maybe some of you know this. There was a man who failed to save another person. And he felt so guilty. He felt so guilty. But he said to himself, there's no God now. There's no confession now. What can I do? Nothing. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, you are holy and righteous. May we know something more of your holiness. May we know our sinfulness. But Lord, do not just let us know our sinfulness, but let us know Christ, the dear and precious Redeemer and Savior. Let us know his blood shed for us, that we may be resting and trusting in Jesus our Lord. Assure us, O God, of your good will toward us, your kindness and your love, and your readiness to forgive and to pardon and to renew us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.